Well, good morning. And that's it. Say, see, it's all right. It's been a long time since I have been able to stand or have been asked to stand. And I'm not sure I was asked this time, to tell you the truth. But no, our pastor is away. Just so you'll know, I think everybody probably does know by now. But our pastor is away at his first pastorate, where he started the ministry, in his ministry over in Siler City. And so he's away there today. They're having special services there today, and he's being part of that today. So I asked him, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, just take care of it. So here I am. So, but no, I have one that I've been carrying around for a while, and I wanted to go ahead and present that to you. And the key to it is up there right now, facing the giant of worry. But before I do say anything, I want to be sure that the next Sunday when we have our call conference, we have down front, right, Brenda? There'll be, yep. Okay, I see them now. Down front, we'll have the proposed addition to the bylaws, the constitution, which will be the, which will actually what this will be the job description for it. So be sure you come and get one of these if you want. This is what we'll be voting on next Sunday. Okay. Now, today, we're going to talk about facing the giant of worry. Now, I'm going to have to ask you, anybody here worry? Okay. Anybody never worry? You know what? It's true. It's true. And I have to tell you, I know people that don't seem to ever worry. But I got to tell you something. It's okay. It's okay to be concerned. Now, there's a difference of being concerned and being worried. It's okay to visit worry. Now, I'm going to tell you that. It's okay to visit it. Just don't move in. Don't let it consume you. Just don't let it consume you. My dad had a favorite saying about worry. And there was a man that didn't worry much. If he was, I know if I didn't catch him at it. But he had a favorite saying about worry. He said, worry is just like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Think about it. Isn't that the truth? That's what worry does. Now, my mom, on the other hand, she was one that had concern. And I'm going to take you back to my first day in school, and you'll find out why mom had not worry, but concern. She knew things were going to be okay. My first day in school, I admire these kids today. Wasn't it wonderful to see them, what they've accomplished at such an early age? Me, you know what I accomplished my first day in school? I went home. I just went home. I didn't like it. Didn't like it. Didn't like my teacher. Didn't like anything about it. I lived a mile and a half from school. I knew how to get home. I went home. True story. Walked in, and never forget this. My dad and mom were sitting there shelling butter beans. Dad looked up at me and said, what in the world are you doing home? I said, they let me come home. And he said, well, where's your sister? I said, I guess she didn't get to come. Didn't take long for mother to be concerned. So they took me back to school after some conversations. And they put me with a mother was always praying. And she told me, she said, I prayed for you that day. And this is a true story. They put me with one of the most beautiful, loving teachers that I could ever ask for, Miss Houck. I don't know, those of you around Oakboro might remember Miss Houck. You had her, didn't you? Well, then you know what I'm talking about. Not, you know, that's right, you were. But that, I credit her, and with the grace of God, the fact that I finished school, because it was a great start with her. Now, what has all this got to do with worry? And what's it got to do with concern? I'm telling you, folks, it's okay to be concerned. If mother hadn't been concerned for me, she wouldn't have prayed for me all the years she did. My dad was not so much concerned. He knew if I came home the following day, he'd take care of it. So he was not so much with him. But my mother was a prayer warrior. And she didn't worry, but when she got concerned, she found it on her knees. And that's where she was. I want you to, if you would please, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, and turn to the fourth chapter of Philippians.
verses 6 and 7. I love to hear the pages turning, or in our devices, David, that we use, the buttons mashing. It all works. It all works. In Philippians, as Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, Paul is saying to them, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful verses that has to do with worry. What Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, don't worry. I remember back in the 60s, or no, 70s, Rita, there was a song, and you're shaking your head because you knew exactly where I was going with it. Don't worry, be happy. You remember the song? Well, the song was great because it caught on. It caught on. You remember it? Sure you do. The song caught on. And it did because, why? Because the people were so worried and downtrodden. But the song picked them up. It had a nice little calypso beat to it. And the first thing you know, this song goes to number one, and people are singing it because they were worried. They were worried about world events, about the fact that about the economy, all of that. But we taught them not to be worried, not to worry, but to be happy. I want you to know that worry can be like a rat. It can gnaw away at you and just keep gnawing at you and keep gnawing at you. And first thing you know, you're consumed. You're consumed by worry. And that's what we want to guard against. And that's why I want you to remember what he's saying here. Don't worry about anything. Now, when you do worry, you're saying to God, look, God, I don't have faith enough in you to know that you can deliver me. I tell you now that God's on the throne. I tell you now that God controls the USA. He has all power for the USA. It's not our government. It's not Russia. It's not all the other powers in the world, but God. Amen. God is in control of who we are. And God is able to deliver you from worry. God is able to deliver you from the problems that you might have. Now, I got to tell you something. The things that you worry most about, do you ever worry about things? Think about the things you worry most about? Well, I can tell you in today's time, now, what I'm about to read to you later on, it had to do with food. It had to do with a house. It had to do with clothing. The basics, right? Not many of you have to ever worry. Not any of you have to worry about that. I can tell by looking around, you don't have to worry too much about where your next meal is coming from. Half the world is on. Half the world. Now, I'm not talking about you. Ladies, forget I just said that. You know, you can get in more trouble right here than you can ever dig out. But the fact is that we're on some kind of diet program, aren't we? The world is. So we don't have to worry too much about food. In the biblical days that we're just reading here, that was an issue. It was an issue. Where the next meal was coming from. How they were going to live. How they were going to survive. But I got to tell you something. God is in the food business. Now you say, uh-oh, what are you talking about? Listen, anybody can feed 2 million Jewish people out in the desert for 40 years. He's in the food business. He can handle a little bit of problem that you might have. Anybody can feed 5,000 out of a little kid's lunch bag, lunch sack. He takes care of things pretty well when it comes to food. So don't worry about food. Don't worry about it. You're not going to worry about it at all. And don't worry about the clothes that you're buying. All of that, we don't worry about it all. But I think that we need to keep on remembering that God is in control. And God's going to take care of you. Now, you know, the president's got the Secret Service. And those guys are pretty good. They can shoot the eyes out of a snake. They're pretty good. But you got something more powerful than that looking after you. If I could just see with spiritual eyes through this building today and see all the angels that are beside you, it makes me emotional to think about how God has taken care of us. Each one of you have that protection. Have that protection angel that's with you. So don't tell me God's not able. He's not able to take care of you because He is. So God's in control of planet Earth, and God can deliver you from any worry. So I ask you, why worry? Why worry? It makes no sense really when you get down to it, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I want you to think about what He's saying here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That peace, no one can understand how God's supreme peace can understand how He can give it to us. Have you ever reached that point where you had nowhere else to go? Nowhere else to turn but to God? And He answered your prayer, and that peace was with you, and you were able to make it through the night. Think about that. Now I want you to remember, there's one thing I want you to remember before we go. Paul is saying, on these verses, then we're going to go to Matthew. But Paul is saying to the church at Philippi that he's saying very clearly to them, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. This is worth repeating. Would you all repeat this with me? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's asking us to do. Now, if you would, take your Bibles, and I'm going to take you now to the Sermon on the Mount. I guess if I had to tell you a portion of the Bible that's one of my favorites, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6. Turn to Matthew 6, and we'll begin reading with the 25th verse. Paul, as Christ is preaching to the disciples, I want to get the setting of the Sermon on the Mount first so you'll understand. The Sermon on the Mount was one thing, was meant for instructive purposes for the disciples. That's what they were there for. Jesus knew that He would be leaving them, and He wanted to be sure that they understood what life was going to be like when He departed. And now He's going to teach them about worry. About worry. Let's look at it. Therefore, and this is beginning with the 25th verse, He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. I'm going to stop right there and tell you that worry is not logical. It's not logical for you to worry, because if you trust in God, you know He's got power to take care. So worry is not logical. And then I want you to also think about what in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now, here again, I want you to think how illogical it is to think about it. Aren't you? What's your worth? Do you know, I looked this up this morning because I didn't know. The population, well, I Googled it. You can Google anything. You know, don't go without an answer. Hit the Google button. I found the population of the earth. What do you think it might be? It's over 7.5 billion. That's with a B. 7.5 billion people. And yet, with that, every single one of you are unique. Nobody's like you. So it stands to reason that we don't need to try to be like anybody else. I want to tell you something. There's always somebody that can sing a better song. There's always somebody that can look a little better. There's always somebody that can dress and look a lot neater in clothes than you do. There's also somebody that can be able to speak better than you do. But what does that tell you? Be who you are. That's what it tells you to be. You're unique. God has made you unique. And He's made you in His image, as we studied this morning. Nobody else is like you. I heard somebody say, thank God. Who was it? But nobody is. Nobody is like you. God has made you who you are and the way you are. and He continues to bless you, and He gives you gifts that no one else has. Now look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, I want to stop there and talk about that just a minute. Now, a cubit was 18 inches. That's a foot and a half. Where's our math student? Oh, he's already. That's right. It's a foot and a half. But now what he's saying is, is worry going to make you taller? Is worry going to make you better? Which of you, by worrying, can add anything to your stature? I'm going to tell you something. Back when I was younger, if worrying would have added something to my stature, I'd have been a sinner for the Charlotte Hornets. I could have slam dunked, I want to tell you. Because worry is not going to... But I think it's more... Look at it this way. What he's saying to you is that worry will not add one thing to your day. Worry will not add one thing to what you're doing. Matter of fact, I want you to think about worry this way. When you lay, how many of you have been laying in bed? Now, be honest with me now, because I do it too. I've done it before. How many lay in the bed tonight and worry about what you're going to do tomorrow? That's okay. I love honesty there because that's what it is. How many of you do that? But I want you to think about it. When you think about what you've done, what you've lay in the bed at night, and you worry then, and you worry about that tonight, and you're not going to get good sleep, okay? And then tomorrow comes and it doesn't happen. What have you done? Well, you've messed up 2 days is what you've done, right? Just because of worry. You see, that's what happens when worry comes and you let worry consume you. And that's the danger part of worry. I know people that worry when things are going good. Don't you? I know people that sit around and wonder, say, well, things are going so good for now, I know that other shoe's got to fall soon. Something's got to happen soon. It's just not like my life not to have a problem. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Life is full of problems. Life is full of problems. And full of challenges. But just remember that God is sufficient. God is all powerful. He's sufficient. Now I want you to look at the 28th verse. And take ye thought for the raiment. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God be clothed the grass of the field, which in day today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O Leonard, ye of little faith? Now that speaks to me, and I want you to know that. But what he's saying is, I want you to, now here's the logical part that I was telling you about, and the illogical part you do when you do not trust God to get you through the next day. God is saying that I just want you to be logical. I want you to look around. You know, I do that a lot. I call it managing by wandering around. It works. You'll be surprised if you'll just allow yourself to do that. Go around and look what God has already provided for you. Go around and look at all the blessings He's already given to you. And then if it all else goes fast, go down to the nursing home or go to the hospital and go back and look around. That will put you right where you need to be, and you'll realize how God has blessed you. But what he's saying in these verses here is, aren't you more important than the weeds in the field? Aren't you more important than the flowers? Aren't you more important to me than the birds? But yet I clothe them. I feed them. Do you not think I couldn't do it for you? That's the logical part that I want you to look at. That's the logical part that Jesus is saying here to the disciples. Think about this thing a little bit before you start worrying about where your next meal's coming from. Think about it. Now I want to go on. Take no thought by saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. What Paul is saying here, what Jesus is saying here to the disciples is that you have to realize something, that if you worry about food and drink and all that, the people that don't even believe in me do that. They have to worry about that. The Gentiles. Now, when he mentions Gentiles here, he's talking about the heathens. He's talking about people that don't believe in Christ. That's who he's referring to here. They don't believe, and yet you're no better. You're saying you're no better than them in your spiritual life. I'd hate for somebody to compare me that way and say you're no better in your spiritual life than people don't even believe in Christ. So that's what he said. Then I want to skip down to the 34th verse, and I'm going to close. I'm going to close. Don, I know you don't believe it, but I'm going to do that. The 34th verse, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want you to hear what he's saying. Take no thought of tomorrow. Now, he didn't say that we need to think about just skating through life and not worry about anything that's going to go on or not be concerned. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you need to close the door on yesterday. That is so much of a problem with people in worry. If you could just learn to close the door of yesterday and then think about today. When Jesus is saying to the disciples, he said, and people wanted to know who he was, what did he say? What did he say when Pilate wanted to know who you say you are? Who do men say I am? He said, I am. I am. He didn't say, I was. He didn't say, I will be. Jesus said, I am the present. I'm here now. The present is here now. That's what you need to remember. Live for today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I saw a sign one time in Arkansas, and I kidded Brother Bobby. I don't know if he's not here. I kind of wish he was. But I saw a sign one time in Arkansas in a gas station, and the sign said, free gas tomorrow. Think about it. You think he ever had to pump a gallon? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He lived today. He could tell him anything he wanted to tomorrow. I remember one time on the Andy Griffith Show, there was that guy come up, and he was a bum, really. And he got Opie believing that he could just live off the land. And he told him, he said, there's absolutely nothing you can't do tomorrow. You can always say, I'll do that tomorrow. Free gas tomorrow. So what does that say to us? That says to us, remember this, that God wants you to live today. He wants you to be your very best today. And he wants you to trust him today. I am is who he is. Thank you all for coming today. I appreciate you putting up with me. And I'd love to be able to stand and be a willing vessel. That's what I am. That's what I do. I like to be able to somebody to say that he had a servant's heart. And he was a willing vessel. And you know what? I found out something today. I had some notes. I didn't use much of them at all. Because God had to say what I wanted to say. God's good. God's able. Trust him. And don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's my challenge to you. There might be somebody here today, I don't know, that might want to come, and we're going to have an invitation, Brenda and Christine. There might be, maybe you want to leave a burden on the altar. I don't know. But if you would, please, I'm going to ask one of our deacons, Jeffrey, if you would, please come down front and receive the folks if they come. And they might be a need in your heart. Maybe you want to come down and do that as well.